everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
I first remember seeing this beautiful, vivacious, full of power and conviction on a television broadcast, wondering who on earth is that? And the power and the anointing that flowed so authentically. Her climb in Christendom seemed immediate, and her story of a, quote, messed up Mississippi girl to overcoming victory through Jesus Christ, miraculous and inspiring, impacting millions worldwide, and rightfully so. But then came the controversy, the unanswered questions that until now have never been told, not really. Strap on your seatbelts for a book whose time has come and its author whose life has really just begun and become something greater than ever imagined. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome in part one of my two-part conversation, internationally acclaimed motivational speaker, senior pastor of Destiny Christian Center, Apopka, Florida, television host of Paula White Today, number one New York Times best-selling author of several books, her latest, Something Greater, as well as personal minister and spiritual advisor to President Donald J. Trump. And if that were not enough, ladies and gentlemen, wife of rock and roll Hall of Famer Jonathan Cain of Journey, and so much more. A great joy and honor indeed, Pastor Paula White Cain. Paula, if I may, welcome to Testimony.
Oh, it's so wonderful to be with you. It is my honor to share this time with you and all our listeners. And I just believe God will speak something that will be encouraging and help speak His word. Thank you for what you do.
Well, amen and amen, and it's my honor completely. Paula, your life and life's work embodies tragedy, disappointment, betrayal, on the one hand, and on the other, overcoming victory and resolve to fulfill one's destiny in Christ, and powerfully so. For our brief time here today, can you share with our listeners who may not know your early beginnings leading to your salvation and Christ and the miracles that would follow? Pastor Paula White Cain, please tell us your story.
You know, I felt God had me write this book, Something Greater, which is my memoir. It's my story, but it's really all of our story. God's story through my life. And it's a story of grace and redemption and mercy and goodness and every other thing that we can think of that God does for us. My childhood started out very rocky. Did not grow up in a Christian home. Never heard the gospel until I was 18 years old. When I was 5 years old, the man that I knew as a loving, doting father committed suicide. As you can imagine, the emptiness, the empty love tank that left in my life. My mother, who was very successful, my father came from a well-to-do family. She had two masters and a doctorate. She became an alcoholic. So in essence, I lost two parents and was sexually and physically abused to the world's standards. It was successful, et cetera, but much dysfunction. When I was 18 years old, I was in college, typical overachiever, trying to find love in all the wrong places, validation, all the things that we desire. And I went to a friend's house, who was my boyfriend, and went to his grandmother's house. His uncle looked me in my eyes and said, I have the answers to your questions and the solution to your pain and problems. Of course, I looked at him very defensively, like, what in the world are you talking about? And he opened up this book. It was the Bible. And he began to share with me God's plan, that God had a plan for my life. I mean, it sounded so far-fetched. At first, I was a little, not just a little defensive. I didn't like what he was telling me at first. He was telling me that I was a sinner. I'd missed the mark. I'd done wrong things that had brought the separation before God and I. I'd never heard terminology like this, so it was all foreign to me. But the more he talked, I felt a love I never felt. I felt a compassion, and even, I didn't know the word, but a conviction I felt like he was telling me truth. It was like hearing truth for the first time in my life. And I received the words he spoke to me, words of life. I got born again and gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. And as crazy and corny as it sounds, for those of us who are old enough, it's like watching The Wizard of Oz in black and white, and suddenly it becomes technicolor. The grass was green and the sky was blue, but I knew real love for the first time. And so I began my journey with God, and I was in college and began to just, they told me go find a church. I went to a few places that were, you know, most people were 60, 70. Now that's young today, but I was 18 years old. And I took that book. I said, I need that book. I need that book. Took the Bible, held it up and said, God, show me who you are. Show me who I am and show me what life's about. I prayed a simple prayer that simply said, can I spend the rest of my life helping people? Little did I ever know where that would lead me to in life. And that was the genesis of my journey with God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pastor Paula White Kane, author of her memoir and just released Something Greater. You took all the gifts and talents that God imparted to you early on. You went full bore into ministry. Talk about your segue into ministry, how that all happened.
Well, the book is really based on Ecclesiastes 3 that says, God has put eternity, a divine sense of purpose in our heart, yet man cannot fathom it. When we come in alignment and our eyes are open spiritually to see what is that purpose is your supreme reason for being, no one's an accident. You didn't just show up. God has a plan and a purpose for you. I feel very blessed and fortunate that early on, that began to be cultivated. I knew what God had for me. What do I mean by that? I didn't know that I would be spiritual advisor to President Trump. I didn't know that I would pastor a church. I didn't know I'd have a television ministry, but I knew I would share his word, and that in sharing his word, it would transform my spiritual heart and see people get saved. That happened because early on, there was always a generosity and a conviction of right doing in my life, but someone gave me a turkey. I was living in a trailer. My parents had rejected me. My mother had remarried my stepfather and said, hey, as long as you mention the name of Jesus, you're not welcome in our house. And I thought, well, if I don't stand for him, there's no hope for any of us. So I lived in a trailer, and someone gave me this turkey. I was struggling during a very difficult time. I had a child out of wedlock, got pregnant when I was 18 years old. And I started going down to Washington, D.C., in some of the hardest hit areas. This is the early 80s. This is when it was the murder capital of the world. Worked with an advocate for the homeless, and his name was Mitch Schneider, and I took half that turkey and started feeding the homeless. I finally land up in this little church, and I go to my pastor, and I said to him, I said, God has called God on my life. I said, in a vision, literally, the Lord showed me that I was preaching before masses, as far as my eye could see, there were millions and masses of people. And every time I opened my mouth, people either got saved or healed or delivered. When I shut my mouth, they fell into utter darkness. And the Lord said, I called you to preach the gospel. They'll see nations shaken. That was so foreign and so crazy to me. I went to my pastor. Our church was maybe 60 to 100 people at most. And he said, fantastic, Paula. Our janitors just quit. So I started cleaning the church. I was so excited I got to clean the church.
Right.
And one thing led to another. Again, little did I know, God's ways are not our ways. And God was training me through servant leadership. So then my pastor watched me for a while and said, we'd love for you to do the nursery. We've been watching how faithful you are. And boy, I would clean those wood beams with that Murphy's Oil soap and make sure that it was just beautiful. I was so thrilled that God would use someone with such a messed up life like mine. So I started doing nursery. Then he came to me and said, would you teach the 2 to 4 year olds? I'm like, me? Now, by this time, I'd read the word through several times, and I realized not all should desire to be teachers, or there's a greater accountability. And I tell you, I had a real fear of the Lord, a reverence, thinking, how can I break the word of God down where 2 to 4 year olds can understand it and digest it? You know, men might not have seen me or known what I was doing, but there is an all-seeing eye. His name is God, and he knows exactly what you've done. And we often forget that even our Lord and Savior Jesus was in 30 years of preparation for 3.5 years of ministry. And so it would be a long time. I would work in the inner city. We would come to Tampa on a divine calling, start a church with 5 people. I would go into Los Angeles right after post-riots with Rodney King, minister in Wyverly, Watts, Nickerson Gardens, Jordan Downs. I do a big program to children and outreach. Here I am finding myself with over 50,000 people being born again, negotiating between the Bloods and the Crips.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my whole life has been preparation. And boy, the church began to explode, and it was where we truly ministered to people outside of the four walls of the church. And the book is laying with stories from crazy things of ministering to Kid Rock and seeing the impact of God on his life, to Michael Jackson, to negotiating between the Bloods and Crips. So it's all in there. And how God will use us. Sometimes people think ministry is behind a pulpit. I never thought I would be behind a pulpit preaching. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to spend the rest of my life helping people. I then, in 99, I'm walking in, and I felt the Lord say, go on TV. I went back to now my ex-husband, and I said, Randy, I felt God's calling. He said, sure, go ahead, but we're not giving you a dime, which kind of meant, like, this isn't going anywhere. I started on BET because, honestly, the Christian stations kind of blackballed me. Nobody would have me on. And so
why is that?
Here I am.
Why is that?
Looking back now, ministry is much different. I can't answer for another person, but I started doing this when I was in the 80s as a woman. Still not easy in 2019. And I'm talking about being a Bible teacher and evangelist. You know, I wasn't a pastor at the time, and I actually became a pastor by default. I'll talk about that in my book, when my ex-husband had a breakdown and what happened. It was not the easiest road, but I always knew that God had called me. And I don't know if it was, I really don't know. Maybe I was, kind of always didn't fit the mold, didn't fit the box that people thought I should fit into. And they could never box me in. The one thing that God said when I was 18 years old is, no one will ever own your voice. You have an not for sale sign for you. You belong to me. And I've been true to that. I've been true to that always. And that doesn't mean there's not submission to authority and spiritual accountability and covering over my life, because I've always understood that. I teach deeply on that position. I've never made a move without spiritual authority. And everything I've gone through. So I started on BET, which, for those that don't know, is Black Entertainment Television, and Ebony would write, things have changed, when the most popular show on TV is on Black Entertainment Television.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally acclaimed pastor, author, sought-after motivational speaker, and spiritual advisor to our 45th president, Donald J. Trump, Paula White Kane, in her latest just-released memoir, Something Greater. You can learn more about Paula's work, ministry, and mission by visiting paulawhite.org and get her book, Get the Real Story, and then get inspired for something greater in your own life. You will be blessed and encouraged that you did. Pastor Paula, thank you for taking precious time to share just a little of your amazing, heart-wrenching, yet hopeful story. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.
Last week, you heard just a sampling of a, quote, messed up Mississippi girl's journey of abandonment, loss, and abuse to transformation and victory in Christ. As a heralded prophet, Bible teacher, motivational speaker, pastor, and author of several best-selling books, Something Greater promises to bring even more in sharing, for the first time ever, the real story behind the fame, the success, the money, and the ministry that led to great acclaim, yet great disappointment, and the power needed to overcome in life and in Christ. Please welcome back to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, Pastor Paula White Kane. Pastor Paula, welcome back to Testimony.
I am so excited, and thank you. I just am honored to be able to share really God's story, not just my life, but all of our lives. And maybe someone hasn't experienced everything. They say this is a real page-turner and vulnerable pain and authentic and real and raw. But something greater is that God has put a divine sense of purpose, eternity in our heart. God will never let go of you. And that's my hope, that people, no matter what they're facing, God says he's ordained all of our days before one of them came into being. It doesn't mean that God sent it, but it does mean it will be used by God.
Amen and amen. We're going to talk about your relationship with President Donald J. Trump and how all of that came about. But I want to talk about your marriage to Randy White, Pastor Randy White, which began to disintegrate long before the announcement to divorce was made. His choice, not yours. A lot of unanswered questions and speculation arose that you now answer. So question, Paula, if you had to do it over again, would you have handled it the same?
You know, I have to look back and never have regrets in my life and trust. It was one of the most absolute difficult times of my life. In 2002, I'm writing, can life get any better? I mean, the kids are doing wonderful. Randy had three biological children that I'd helped raise from the time they were 2, 5, and 7, along with my son. The ministry is exploding. I mean, I just feel like I felt like Cinderella. And then in 2004, we get a knock on our door. We come against pornography so hard. And suddenly the FBI and criminal IRS shows up. And we go under a 3-year investigation. We're exonerated in 6 months. But my ex-husband had a complete breakdown. When he had that breakdown, he opened a door, got addicted, started with Valium, and then addicted to harder drugs. That opened the door to women. He shared his testimony now publicly. And during that time, I believed God for my marriage. I could go into the details of how I lost almost 30 pounds, went through a deep depression. I found out that my son was an addict, how we would ultimately find out that our daughter had cancer. She died. I mean, it was one thing after another, all within about a 3 to 4 year period. This would continue for almost a 10-year cycle of my life, but 4 years of just absolute understanding that I didn't understand. I would search my heart, God, what did I do wrong? Is there any unforgiveness? And I'm the girl that, not that we live by works, we don't, but I still never smoked a cigarette in my life. At that time, I'd never had a glass of wine. I'd never cussed. I asked God for permission to cuss. I write about this. I never watched an old movie. And so, I'm serving God, and all I wanted was family. Mm-hmm. So I kept believing God, my family, my marriage, it'll be the miracle. It'll be the miracle. And we went through fake media before it was known as fake media, of just 52 headlines being written one right after another. It was so much pressure. Everything that could be shaken was shaken. And I can stand on the other side without literally crying or shaking in my voice now, because God does have something greater for you. During that time, it was so difficult. Randy was not this horrific person. I was not this horrific person. The enemy is very real. Randy had a great gift of faith. You know, we've done great things for the kingdom of God, but the enemy certainly got in. And like I said, I believed God. There was a moment, a real defining moment, and I write about it in the book, that I was given an ultimatum.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pastor Paula White, her latest just released, Something Greater.
So during that time that I said, I will not lose my soul, a decision was made. And unfortunately, our marriage did come to an end. Very devastating for me, devastating for our children, our family, for Randy, for everyone. However, for myself, there were biblical grounds for release. And like you said, a lot of confusion. I'd never been there. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. Sometimes people I did turn to, I found out, were not a safe place. I thought they were coming to hold me and hug me mm-hmm. and wipe the little blood off my mouth, but they were coming to hit me. And this is not how the body of Christ should treat each other. We're to restore one another.
Yeah, that is one of the reasons, excuse me for interrupting, that I wanted to bring your story to testimony. As the body of Christ, Christians by and large, we are so quick to judge, and we have no idea what's on the other side of that door. I can see from reading your book that the enemy sought to bring you back to your earlier insecurities of abandonment, beginning with your father who committed suicide when you were 5. You became a caregiver for your mother as a child because of her own devastation and inability to connect with you emotionally, or anyone for that matter. The physical and sexual abuse you talk about, you overcame all of that. But now you're hearing words that are hurtful to your spirit from someone that is supposed to love you. And here you are, this famous pastor, you're trying to keep it together, you're loyal to a fault, and you want to keep your marriage together. But Paula, for those that are listening, when is enough enough? And was the ultimatum that you write about in your book that enough for you?
It was. I was basically told to violate on our anniversary. My ex-husband said, I've got good news for you and I've got bad news for you. And that was, the good news was he still loved me. The bad news was he was not going to change his behavior. Now, God's done work. I just was not going to compromise. And I said, I might lose everything, but I'm not going to lose myself. There is a time, and I think people want to judge so harshly. God does not expect us to be in emotionally, physically abusive, spiritually abusive relationships in any capacity. And obviously, you nailed it so well and named it. I had a real issue with boundaries. Those boundaries were broken when I was a child. Those boundaries were hard to form. I didn't understand a lot of the broken little girl. God's love is completely progressive in our life. It's the washing of his word. It's not like I've arrived today. I am continually arriving. You know, I'm continually transforming. But I can look through my 53-year-old lens eyes in a much more mature place and see decisions I'd make different, things I would handle different. But I can honestly say at each stage of my life, at each stage, I did the best that I could with the knowledge that I had, which is why God's word and safe people, what do I mean by that? Good, healthy, whole people, safe counseling. I've been to a lot of counseling. I'm not afraid to say that I needed good therapists, not just as a child, but good Christian counselors as an adult to help me identify, because I didn't have model parents. I didn't have model relationships. I have a model Jesus. I have a heart inclined towards God. But boy, this is real life. You might have had a death. You might have made mistakes. You might have sinned. I talk about where I sinned in my life. I take ownership for the things that I've done wrong. You might have gone through a divorce, but God is not finished. And man might try to label you or beat through or cast you to the curb, but God is not that way. And so I want someone who reads something greater to see that God is redemptive, and God's mercy and his grace and his goodness and his love is continually working on our life. And God is a God of restoration. Sometimes you are standing in a place you might be flavor of the month. That's what I call the lunacy of becoming a commodity, you know, and they think you're just wonderful and great. And the reality is the same girl is the same, you know, former messed up Mississippi girl that people call trailer trash that I found out God's in the recycling business, who went through this myriad of true, authentic diversities from living at the top to the bottom. Money's not the answer. Fame's not the answer. Success is not the answer. Big ministry's not the answer. Great career's not the answer. All of those things can be a blessing in our life, but the answer is Jesus Christ. And I ultimately say to people, the greatest blessing in my life is that God loved me enough to reduce me to Christ. And what I mean by that is I really found myself in a place, not just stripped of everything, because change and loss does bring those things, but I found myself in a place that I went, what if I never preach again? What if I never do ministry again as I had known it? What if I don't have that friend again? What if I don't? And I discovered God's love and God's peace and God's joy in a way that I've never known it, that I can authentically say, in him I live and I move and I have my being. I am married to the most wonderful man in the world. I met Jonathan Cain, my husband. He plays for Journeys on his 4th Christian album now. I mean, loves God. He grew up wanting to be a priest, and I met him on Southwest. I am married to not just a great man that covers me, loves me, understands me, can carry my purpose, prays for me, serves me communion. He really is a gift from God. My son that was addicted is now serving God. He broke many of those generational curses, married a beautiful girl that they were told they would be barren and not have two beautiful grandchildren, a three-year-old Asher and a one-year-old Nicholas. And yes, I serve as advisor, spiritual advisor to President Trump and his personal pastor. That's 18 years. He was watching me on Christian television, and the Lord spoke to me and said, tell him and show him who I am, which I knew meant live as a Christian before. Little did I know, or probably little did he know, that he would become President of the United States, and I would remain serving as his pastor and spiritual advisor. So our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. But I can encourage someone. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident in this one thing. The same God who started the good work in your life is the same God that will finish it, further it, and execute it. I love Micah 7:8. It says, when I fall, not if I fall, but when I fall, I will arise again. When I sit in darkness, the light of the Lord will come unto me. And someone needs to know that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you don't quit on God, God will never quit on you.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally acclaimed pastor, author, sought-after motivational speaker, and spiritual advisor to our 45th president, Donald J. Trump, Paula White Cain, in her just-released memoir, Something Greater. You can learn more about Paula's work, ministry, and mission by visiting paulawhite.org and get her book, Get Inspired for Something Greater in Your Own Life. You will be blessed and encouraged that you did. Paula, thank you once again for taking precious time to share your heart in a very transparent and redemptive way, that there is always something greater when Christ is the center. He is the potter. We are the clay. What is broken can be mended, and new life can be breathed. And beautifully so, we thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. Many blessings. And I just encourage everyone, God does have something greater for you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.